Greetings, this is Jeff Riddle, pastor of Christ Reformed Baptist Church in Louisa, Virginia. This is another in this occasional series of readings from and brief notes and commentary upon Eusebius of Caesarea's The Ecclesiastical History. Here is Book 9, Chapters 2 through 4. Chapter 2. This the tyrant could no longer endure, hater as he was of that which is good, and plotter against every virtuous man. He was the ruler, as we said, of the eastern parts. Nor did he suffer matters thus to be carried on for 6 entire months. Numerous, therefore, were his devices to overturn the peace. At first he attempted on some pretext to shut us out from assembling in the cemeteries. Then, through the medium of certain evil men, he sent embassies to himself against us, having urged the citizens of Antioch to ask that they might obtain from him, as a very great boon, that he should in no wise permit any of the Christians to inhabit their land, and to contrive that others should make the same suggestion. The originator of all this sprang up at Antioch itself, in the person of Theotechnus, a clever cheat and an evil man, and quite unlike his name. He was accounted to hold the post of curator in the city. Chapter 3. This man, then, many times took the field against us, and having been at pains by every method to hunt our people out of hiding places as if they were unholy thieves, having employed every device to slander and accuse us, having been the cause even of death to countless numbers, he ended by erecting a statue of Zeus the Befriender with certain juggleries and sorceries, and having devised unhallowed rites for it, and ill-omened initiations, and abominable purifications, he exhibited his wonder-working by what oracles he pleased, even in the emperor's presence. And, moreover, this fellow, in order to flatter and please him who was ruling, stirred up the demon against the Christians, and said that the God, forsooth, had given orders that the Christians should be driven away beyond the borders of the city and country round about, since they were his enemies. Chapter 4. This man was the first to act thus of set purpose, and all the other officials who lived in the cities under the same rule hastened to make a like decision, the provincial governors having seen at a glance that it was pleasing to the emperor, and having suggested to their subjects to do the very same thing. And when the tyrant had given a most willing assent to their petitions by a rescript, once more the persecution against us was rekindled. Maximin himself appointed as priests of the images in each city, and moreover as high priests, those who were especially distinguished in the public services, and had made their mark in the entire course thereof. These persons brought great zeal to bear on the worship of the gods whom they served. Certainly the outlandish superstition of the ruler was inducing, in a word, all under him, both governors and governed, to do everything against us in order to secure his favor. In return for the benefits which they thought to secure from him, they bestowed upon him this greatest of boons, namely to thirst for our blood, and to display some more novel tokens of malice toward us. Here ends Book 9 and Chapters 2 through 4, and we'll move on to some notes and commentary. These chapters describe a renewal of persecution which took place at the instigation of Maximin, the tyrant of the East. Chapter 2 reports that Maximin, hater of the good and plotter against virtuous men, attempted various devices to overturn the peace and tolerance that had been extended to the Christians. He attempted to bar Christians from gathering in cemeteries where they were apparently assembling to commemorate the martyrs. He also tried to stir up resistance to Christians in Antioch, along with the curator, a certain Theotechnus, whose name ironically means child of God. Eusebius describes him as a clever cheat and an evil man, quite unlike his name. Chapter 3 describes Theotechnus' anti-Christian efforts in Antioch. He erected there a statue to Zeus, the befriender, in an apparent effort to defend or restore paganism, as well as to court the favor of Maximin, and how he made use of various occult means to declare that this god had ordered the removal of Christians from the city, the surrounding countryside, and its borders. Chapter 4 adds that when other governors saw that this was pleasing to the tyrant, they followed suit and persecution was rekindled. Maximin appointed priests and high priests to serve the images that had been erected in each city, to lead the worship of the gods with great zeal. In conclusion, these chapters tell us how that resistance to the Christian movement continued under the tyrant Maximin and under local rulers like Theotechnus of Antioch, even after the official end of the Diocletian persecution. These descriptions are particularly interesting in that they seem to reflect an effort by the devotees of the pagan religions to reassert their dominance and win back the populace from the appeal of the Christian sect, which continued to grow and abound. Well, this brings this episode to a conclusion. I hope this has been helpful and interesting to those who are listening, and I'll look forward to speaking to you in the next episode in this series. Till then, take care and God bless.